Thank you, Pastor. Good evening. Welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Take your Bible, please. Please join me in the theme verse once again, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. The year's only just begun and there seem to be a few tired people in church this morning, but don't worry. I think the way the Lord's worked this message out, that there should be enough movement and distraction at the front here to keep those eyelids open for the next half an hour. James chapter 1, and we'll just read our theme verse again. Let's read it out aloud together. James chapter 1 and verse 5. After two. One, two. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's open the service in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you bless your word this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to begin a new year afresh in every area of our lives. And Lord, many have had difficult years, many have had very blessed years in the year past, and Lord, we pray that you would give each one the strength of character and of faith and trust in you to look to you to see what you would allow each individual and Lord, us as a church family to enjoy in your wisdom this year. Father, we pray that you would bless your word now. Please give clarity of thought. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. After this morning's message, I don't believe any of us are perhaps in too much doubt as to the gist of this theme verse and where it might take us. It's perhaps not too complicated a series of words. Wisdom, and then a bunch of three-letter words. Let him ask, two-letter word, of God. Very simple, no need necessarily for dictionaries there. And so we get the ask bit. And of course, God, well, who else would we ask? So yeah, I get that, of course. And I get that he gives generously, because as I understand my Bible, well, how else would God give but generously? And I'm happy to accept that he's not going to give it upbraiding. He's not going to give it with strictness and severity, but he upbraideth not when we ask for it, and I'm happy to accept that gladly. And I certainly understand that whatever I ask for, I'm going to get, because as all spoilt brats know, that's how it works. You get whatever you ask for if you're spoilt. And so, of course, we all want to get what we ask for. So it's a good theme, and not too complicated. And so I've titled this message, If I Need It, I'll Ask. Because that's sort of where we're at. We're sort of, well, I get the ask and I get the God and, okay, great. If I need that, I'll ask for it. Just, you know, I know where to go if I need it, and I'll just wait here until I need it, you know. And we miss the importance of it. And there's a couple of words here that I want to look at together. That might change the way we see that. Because Pastor's right. We all want to have more wisdom. And yet at the same time, the practicality, the how that plays out in our life demonstrates the complete opposite. That we are content with the wisdom that we already have. Because every decision we make, so often is the case that we just make it from our own pea brain, or my own pea brain, and in yours might be a mung bean, slightly bigger, right? So we're content to just make up the decisions that come, whether they're major decisions in the channel, or whether they're very minor ones and way down in the future as well. And we're content with what wisdom we have to make those decisions, though we all would like more. The two are tussling there. And so I'd like to look at perhaps why that is the case this evening. If I need it, I'll ask for it. And I think in reality that's where we're at with wisdom. We know, yeah, I need to ask God. We know that He'll give it if we ask. And we know that we want more wisdom, and yet for every decision, yeah, I can handle that. I can set the toaster to 3. You know, I don't need to ask for wisdom to whether I need darker toast today or not. You know, every little decision, maybe not that little, but every little decision is still important. And we still need wisdom for those seemingly insignificant decisions. And perhaps that one is insignificant. But there's two words here, as I said, and I think I might just jump straight to the beginning of my illustration, because there's a bit of setting up to do with it. So we see wisdom as a scale, and it is. Some people are wiser than others. And of course, God's at the top of the scale. So the brick has no significance in the illustration. Mind you, all brickheads would be at the bottom of the scale, wouldn't they? And then, at the other end of the scale, we expect to see Satan. So we'll put him straight on. So here's Satan at the bottom of our scale, and then we've got a series of other ones that I'll do as we go, but just for the sake of the illustration, for now, we'll just add one more. We expect that on average, we're all somewhere in the middle of Satan and God. Just somewhere along the line. Some of us are obviously more, some of us are obviously less. But on average, we're about in the middle there. But I think as we study a couple of these words this evening, we'll see that this is not quite how the scale sets up. My first point, then, is a very lengthy point. The first point, you ready, children? You'll need to write small to fit this on one line. The first point is if. If. The verse starts with if, and the first point is if. You see, normally when we look at the word if, we look at it as just something that it's a condition. It implies a choice. It implies an option. Or it might imply that something may or may not be true. For example, if you'd like to stay behind after church, we'll have a cup of tea. That implies an option. You could go home, or you could stay for the cup of tea. Or if you're having trouble hearing, please move to the front. That's not an option, but it's a condition, you see, that it may or may not be true. If you're having trouble hearing, you better move to the front, and otherwise you're fine where you are. See, if, as a condition or an option. But in Greek, there's four kinds of ifs. There's an if, but you probably won't, or aren't in our case. There's an if, and you might. There's an if, and it's unlikely. Some of us think that it's that if. If any of you, but it's unlikely, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But it's this fourth one, if, and it's true. That last one there, if and it's true, is this if. If anyone, and you already do, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the one. So it's like the teacher who says, if any of you would like to go out and play rather than stay in the classroom here, you may. Well, of course, everyone, all the children in the classroom want to leave and play rather than stay in and do some kind of schoolwork. So it's a standing fact that every child in the classroom would rather be outside playing. And it's a standing fact that all the children in God's economy lack wisdom. If any of you, and you all do, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If, and you already do. It's a certain thing. And so, well, we'd look at this scale then that we have happening here, and we go, well, yeah, that works. There's a significant distance between myself and God, so of course I lack wisdom. It's evident. There's a big distance. There's about 2 meters between myself and God, or the average of us and God, and so of course it's evident. I've got more wisdom than the devil at the bottom of the scale, but it's not as simple as that. See, then we start putting more people on our scale. So, here we go. So, let's have Pastor. This is where some of us expect him to be 24/7. And just to be fair, we'll put Mrs. Pastor on the scale. And see, this is still how we imagine this to be. See, here's you then. And me, just on the other side, to keep it an average. You say, well, it's not an average, that average us, because those guys are up there. Well, no, because remember last week, if you weren't here last week, you'll have to get the message from Romans. It's on the website, where Pastor gave us a series of sieves, if you like, in which to put every choice that we have through, from Romans 14, wasn't it? And he referred repeatedly to that Christian who goes and buys the yellow Lamborghini. So they're right down here on the scale. If you want to understand what that is, listen to last week's message. But then let's just throw in, there's that really nice colleague of ours who's unsaved, but they're pretty with it. That's just throwing in a confusion there for you, because this is how we kind of imagine wisdom to be. Some people have more of it than others. And so there's this scale, and of course God's at the bottom, devil's at the bottom, God's at the top, devil's at the bottom, and we're all scattered in between somewhere. And I happen to be here. That's all right. I'll do the best with what I've got. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you, and you already do, whether you're up there or whether you're down here. But this scale is, I think, how many of us perceive wisdom. Some people are smarter than others.
Some people have more wisdom than others, but this scale is flawed.
And we'll see that in the next verse, the next word that we'll look at. You see, it's a standing fact that all of us lack wisdom. And we imagine that we'll do the best with the wisdom that we've got. And this is really why we don't ask God for every decision that comes our way. Because we think, that's where I'm at. I'm about average. I'm about as good as the next guy. If anyone lack, and we think the lack is compared to one another, it's the distance between me and pastor, or me and that friend over there. They're wiser than I, and so that's why I'm lacking, because they've got a bit more wisdom. But that's not how it is. Look then at the verse again. The second point. So our first point was if. And our second point is lack. Lack. Lack does mean lack. It's not one of those funny words that's translated oddly. It does mean lack. So I thought, seeing as I was sticking up signs everywhere, I might as well just keep going. So we've got lack. A synonym for it would be wanting. Anyone wants wisdom, or we're all lacking. But it has all these other meanings too, and I'll demonstrate them on the scale in a moment, and you'll see why this understanding of the scale of wisdom just doesn't work. It also means to leave behind. Or lagging behind. Or forsaking. Or failing in. If any man fails in wisdom, if any man forsakes wisdom, if any man is lagging behind in wisdom, if any man is leaving behind wisdom. And all of those things, they don't work with this understanding of this scale. Here's me and you, about in the middle. But if I'm lagging behind, or if I'm lacking, if I'm failing in, this doesn't convey that, because it's wrong. Our understanding of where we're all at with wisdom is wrong. They all represent flux. There's I'll leave those guys up there, not because they remain there, but just it's easier than preaching and climbing a ladder at the same time. And we'll take these guys out of the way. Because we've got it a little bit wrong. All of us are on this scale, and all of us at various points are in different places. But there's a constant flux of wisdom every day. And for every decision that needs to be made, there's this flux of where we're at on this scale. You see, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we've gone up the scale. And then we go back down. Any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gets wisdom and then he comes back down. Any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we're going up and down this scale. And we're not bumping into those ahead of us. We've all got our own. If you're lacking in wisdom, you need to ask of God. And then you need to ask again, or you can't. come back down the scale. Any man lacks wisdom. This is fun. Do you want to go faster? Small things amuse small minds, they say. So, where are my notes? Failing in is just that simple sliding up because we've asked for it. But then you're failing in it. You're sliding back down. But how about this one? Forsaking. How does that fit in? Let's get an appropriate chap here. Ah, that one will do. Me. So this is the... Which one did I say this was? Who's listening? This is the forsaking. So we'll go up, but we might come off. We've gone up, and then we've fallen off because we're forsaking wisdom. We had it for a while, but we didn't stick with it. We stopped asking or we stopped needing it, we thought, and we're forsaking wisdom. Just or we're lagging behind. We won't slide properly. We're lagging behind. We move a bit, but we're stuck. We can't get there. Maybe that's the lack of faith issue referred to in verse 6, 7, and 8. We're leaving behind wisdom. That's a scary one. We're turning from wisdom. As Pastor said this morning, God's word is wisdom. Go with me for a moment to Book of Proverbs. We'll be back in James in a minute. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3. This concept was important to me when I was looking at the theme verse for the theme song for the first time. I wanted to see this concept in there because it's so pertinent to this theme for the year, and I was glad when Wilson sent it across that it comes up in verse 4 of the theme song. But here in Proverbs chapter 3, join me in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. When we lean to our own understanding, we're departing from wisdom. When we seek God's wisdom, we are departing from evil, in verse 7. But when I'm leaning on my own understanding, there's none of this happening. I'm not growing in wisdom. I'm just leaning to my own understanding. Set the toaster at 3 or, you know, whatever the major decision is for the morning, you know. If I'm leaning to my own understanding, I'm not looking at wisdom. I'm just looking at man's wisdom, which is foolishness. But more than that, a great preacher said, when we think, if we're not thinking in King James English, we're leaning unto our own understanding. What he means by that is, this book is wisdom. Any other thought, watch out. You're probably leaning to your own understanding. You're not leaning to God's word, you're leaning to your own thinking. You want to grow in wisdom? Yeah, we all want to have wisdom. But are we going to stay there? Are we going to keep asking for it, or are we going to keep sliding back down because we're failing in or forsaking wisdom? You and I are sliding up and down. Let's actually go to Ezekiel for a moment, and then we'll go back to James. Ezekiel chapter 28. This one might surprise you. Ezekiel chapter 28. See, you and I are in a constant flux. with wisdom. We're up and down. We should be more up than we're down, but we're sliding. And hopefully we're not coming all the way back down to the bottom here. This illustration only does that due to gravity. Hopefully we stay up around the middle there. But here in Ezekiel chapter 28, look at verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And I'll stop there. This prophecy is what we refer to as a prophecy that uses the law of double reference. What that means is, in the day of the prophet, he was to deliver it, poke some king or somebody in the nose and say, you're in sin. But it also had some reference to something else, usually in the future. In this case, though, the prince of Tyrus illustrates for us Satan. And it's where we learn of Satan's beauty when he was a created angel. And you can read that for yourself. But I will draw your attention then, if this is referring to Satan, Satan is full of wisdom. And so Satan is also on this scale, never getting up to the top, like you and I are never getting up to the top, though we might have our moments. But Satan is also on this scale. It's not a scale of godly wisdom in his case, but there is a measure of wisdom there. And that's sobering, I believe, to the believer. Because if he's up when I'm down, I won't push this one as hard. But the devil's on here too. And this leads us back into the book of James again, very nicely. Keep that thought. James goes on to talk about wisdom from our theme verse in chapter 3. So turn back to James, but join me in chapter 3. Now the devil thought when he put Christ on the cross that he'd won. He thought he was wise at that moment. And he was actually at the bottom of the scale, the very bottom at that moment. But there must be times, if there's wisdom in the devil, as the Bible says, though we don't like to countenance it, though we don't like to process that thought, he's here somewhere on the scale. So if I'm here and I come roaring back down the scale, I want to hope that he's down there too and not up above me. Watch out. Watch out. James chapter 3 ties beautifully into that thought then. And James here is teaching that wisdom is something that is evidenced in our lives. See, he starts in chapter 3 talking about the tongue and how that we can control all sorts of beasts. Wild animals, and yet cannot control the tongue. But then he returns to the theme that he introduced in verse 5, our theme verse from chapter 1. He returns in verse 13 of chapter 3. James 3, verse 13, he returns to the theme of wisdom. And he says, Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Godly wisdom isn't verbal. Godly wisdom is not oratory. It's not beautiful speech.
It's not beautifully thought out argument and reasoning, though it can be. But it is not, that is not where wisdom is.
Wisdom, true godly wisdom, verse 13 tells us, is in a good conversation. Now, before you jump to the conclusion that that's speech, yes, the context is the tongue, and it uses the word conversation. But whenever God is referring to conversation in His Word, like this, He's referring to what our life says, not what our mouth says. And yes, I know that context, everything in its context defines what its meaning, but look in the context of the verse. Let him show it out of good conversation, his works. We don't show conversation when it's speech. And though the context is talking about the tongue being uncontrollable, the context here, as with almost all the other passages that refer to conversation, it's referring to what does your life say? What does my life say? The conversation of our life. That is where wisdom's at. True wisdom shows itself in action. True wisdom demonstrates itself. And specifically in verse 13, wisdom's meekness, or the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14 and 15 further define this wisdom, but in the negative sense then. So we're talking about wisdom being an outward demonstration. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That's the kind of demonstration of wisdom that we don't want. When there's bitter envying and strife being demonstrated in our life, it is demonstrating wisdom. But it's demonstrating that we're at the bottom of the scale and nowhere near the middle. And tying it back to Ezekiel, it's earthly and devilish. When my life is conveying that kind of wisdom, it's not the kind of wisdom that we want to be showing one another. Strife and envy. Proud. True wisdom is meek. True wisdom is referring to an even-naturedness. That's meekness. We've got a grip on it. And we all lose it at times because we're human. We fail to have a grip on something. Something happens and catches us off guard, and we respond in the flesh and with the tongue. And that, at that moment, demonstrates that we're not on the upward slide. Got the wrong guy on here now. We're not on the upward slope of our scale. We're sliding back down. Because I've demonstrated wisdom that is earthly and devilish. Because I've responded in the flesh, not in the wisdom of God. At that moment, I might be just lagging in wisdom. I just need a top up. And I need to ask God for wisdom. I might be forsaking it. I might be fleeing from wisdom. I might be failing in wisdom. Just sliding back down. True wisdom is meek, referring to an even-naturedness.
And that's the whole concept of this word. That this word, wisdom,
that's the whole concept of it.
What does my life say? How in control? How balanced? How spirit-filled am I when things happen, when decisions need to be made?
Can we go to one more passage, please, in Matthew?
This is the first occurrence of this word wisdom in the Bible.
You say it's mentioned in the Old Testament. Yes, but it's a Greek word in our theme verse, not a Hebrew word. So I wanted to see, how does the law of first mention work when I look at the first Greek mention of this word? And it fits exactly what James is talking about here. Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." And he's contrasting the way that the public viewed himself and viewed John. Then it goes on to say, "But wisdom is justified of her children." Wisdom is justified of her children. Now what does that mean? Christ had no children. John had no children. How's that fit? Wisdom is demonstrated in actions. Wisdom is justified in her children. The children of the wisdom in your life is what comes out of your life. What your life says to those around you, to your family, to your colleagues, to your friends, to your enemies, the neighbour over the back fence and side fence. What does wisdom, what does your life say to those people? What does it say? Wisdom is justified of her children. Wherever you are sliding up and down this scale at any point in time, your life is demonstrating wisdom or a lack thereof, and your actions demonstrate that to people around you. That doesn't mean we're all he's struggling at the moment. Look at him go past. And we're laughing at each other as we slide back past each other on the scale. No, we're not talking about that. But in the quietness of your own heart, as you're analysing how you're responding to things going on in your life, you need to be honest with yourself. At any one moment, where am I when it comes to wisdom? When we have big decisions to make, we're on our knees. Lord, I need your wisdom. Sometimes we're not even there. But what about those less significant times? Are we asking God for wisdom every time? Or do we not need it every time? Wisdom is justified of her children. We look at the outcome and we see the results of our choices, the decisions, our attempts at wisdom. We see those outcomes. That demonstrates where we are with wisdom. If I need it, I'll ask for it. But that's not what the verse says. The verse says, God says, you need it. God says, I need it. God says, for every decision, we need wisdom. Because we lack it. If, and you don't, or if and you do, sorry, if and you do need wisdom, ask God. Let's have every head bowed. Every eye closed.